You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
When my brother, sister and I were young, my parents thought it would be a good idea if we learnt some Bible memory verses, with some incentives, of course. So this is what I learnt, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So for that whole week, I busied, learned that scripture. And then when it came to saying my memory verse, I got it right. But then I was presented with a challenge. Because I got it right, I got a choice between a dollar or a chocolate bar. I tell you, that was a tough decision to make as a kid. To this day, I still remember those verses. And I believe this truth became a reality to King Jehoshaphat in the situation that he found himself in 2 Chronicles 20. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 to 3, it says this. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others, with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. So Judea gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, we may read this and say, well, how does this apply to me? A great multitude coming towards me, I can't imagine it. But, you know, this was personal. This was the enemy trying to come and take something from them. And that's something that we may actually be able to identify with, the enemy trying to take something that belongs to us. Have you ever had a situation arise in your life that has been overwhelming and caused great stress? Or you have that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach? Maybe it's something from your past that is trying to weigh you down. Maybe it's grieving about something that you thought would happen in your life, but it just hasn't happened. Maybe it could be a partner or a job. It may be trying to implement changes to your reactions, but you feel like you're not getting anywhere. A multitude of bills all at once causing stress. A situation at work that was unexpected or a deadline that is suddenly too soon. We may not see a great multitude as such, but we can still experience the stress and fear of a situation. Especially when the enemy is trying to bring in issues and fears to weigh us down. Issues into our lives from other people. These sort of situations can take away our peace and our joy. The stress can affect our health, and God does not want that for our lives. Jehoshaphat found himself in a bad situation. His enemy was coming towards Judah to invade and to defeat, to dispossess him and the people, shift them from their position that God had already given them. So when he was told this information, he naturally was afraid and he had to decide what he was going to do. And I reckon that natural reaction of that fight or flight symptom kicked into his life. You know, he could have assembled the armies and mobilized the troops for action. He could have said, you know what, I've actually got this. Or he could have come before the people and showed himself to be strong at this time. You know, when things arise, we're going to want to fight in the natural. And that's a part of it, but it's not the start of it. The fight must start from the spirit. This will set our course and it will set our actions. What can happen when we fight from the natural and don't take that stress and fear to God is that it can impact those around us, even though we don't actually mean to. That's because the stress is not the right burden for us to carry. And that's why it says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that's why we need to set ourselves to seek the Lord like Jehoshaphat did. He set himself to seek the Lord. You know, this word set is used throughout 2 Chronicles a lot, and it means to strategically rise and position something. Putting something in place is being purposeful. You know, an architect strategically positions and sets pillars and beams in place to hold up the weight of a building or a structure or a house. Jehoshaphat, by setting himself to seek the Lord, he purposely positions himself to keep his eyes and his focus on God. By doing this, he's not focused on the enemy coming towards him. He knows it's there. Don't get me wrong. He knew it was coming towards him, but he's got his eyes focused on the one who is true, who is victory, who is all powerful and who's all strength. The one who can calm the raging seas. The one who can heal the brokenhearted. The one who can set the captives free. The one who can heal and restore. He knows he can't do it himself, but he knows who can. Who can hold up the weight of an enemy coming towards you? Who can hold up the weight of fear coming upon you? Who can hold up the weight of pressures of everyday life, like bills to pay and children to guide and protect? This morning, it's our God. It's our God who holds up the weight of those things in our lives, in our situations. He's the one who's there for you, who can protect, who can lead and guide you during these times. So let's set ourselves to seek the Lord. He sets his course. He set his course. He set his journey. Jehoshaphat did. How did he set himself to seek the Lord? The first thing he did was he positioned himself by fasting. Verse 2 says, Jehoshaphat proclaims a fast in Judea, a deliberate and purposeful decision. He knew that he needed all of God's attention to, and he knew that he needed Judah to be a part of it. So for us, what does that mean to fast? Fasting is the decision to reduce or eliminate your intake of food for a specific time and purpose. We pray and fast not to get God's attention, but so that he completely has ours. And it can be done in a variety of ways. But the main purpose is to give God our attention. Draw near to God and he will draw near to us. You may want to do a full fast. You may want to do a partial fast. You may want to just do fruit and vegetables. But make a deliberate decision on what you're going to do during the fast. Position yourself to give God your attention. You know, for me, during the day or after dinner is a great time for me to put in a deliberate routine to read my Bible and pray. I like reading the Psalms and I like the stories in the Old Testament, but I also ask, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to read during this time? You may be a morning person. You may be someone that is, your lunchtime will suit you. I just want to encourage you to find the opportunity and the time that best suits you, works best for you. And during this fast, you might be deliberate in not reacting in a certain way you normally do. For example, getting angry at other drivers. Sorry, Murray, I'll try not to do that anymore during these 21 days. They're going too slow. Lord, help me with that right now. It might mean making deliberate choices to stay positive when getting your children ready for school. Many a time I see parents coming in to drop off their children after school care, and I can tell they've had a morning. It may be a decision to move away from distractions. Be deliberate and purposeful in our fasting. What did Jehoshaphat combine with fasting? Prayer. He prays to God in front of all the people. 2 Chronicles 20 verses 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. We've already heard it this morning. Let it continue just to settle in your spirits, Lord God, during these 21 days, our eyes are upon you. Multitudes coming towards me. A stressful situation is upon me. There is a weight of fear trying to hold me down. But Lord God, I don't know what to do, but I know that you do. So my eyes are set upon you to see you come through in this situation. My eyes aren't fixed on the situation or the circumstance or the fear or the past. My eyes are upon you. When we've been afraid, has our first reaction been to run to God and declare our eyes are upon you? These next 21 days, it will be. What does it say in Philippians 4:8? So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic, all that is real, honourable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Fixed means to make stable, to be firm, to establish, so it's immovable and it's unwavering. Let me say that again. To be fixed, setting our eyes on Jesus, setting our eyes on things that are good and pure and noble that come from Him, means that we're going to be stable, we're going to be firm, we are going to be established in His truth and His word and His course for our life, and we're going to be unmovable and we're going to be unwavering in what He's set for our course. You know, when my eyes are fixed on You, Lord God, then my emotions become unwavering and my reactions become stable and positive. You know, for example, when situations happen in my life, I try and stop and take a pause from the chaos and choose to focus on God's goodness. Lord God, You are good. And I will go into my room. I might need to put some music on, or I might just need to quiet myself. And I say, God, You are good. I worship and proclaim Your goodness in my life. And as I do that, my emotions begin to settle. The thoughts in my mind begin to quieten as I focus on God's goodness, and it begins to move that situation out of my focus, out of my thoughts, that I can focus on Him. And as I do that, you know that so many times the Holy Spirit will just drop a thought of, or a word of comfort into my spirit, and I go, thank You, Lord. You truly, truly are good. We can be unwavering this morning. We can be unshakable as we fix our eyes on God and His goodness. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer is so powerful. And I know I have been part of seeing answers in my own life as well as those around me. In 1 John 5, verses 14 to 15, it says this. Since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before Him. Before, if we present any request agreeable to His will, He will hear us. Amen. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we also know that we have obtained the quest we ask from Him. Psalm 66 verse 19 says, but praises rise to God, for He paid attention to my prayer and answered my cry to Him. And John 14, 13 to 14 says this, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This morning, prayer works. Prayer is powerful. I have seen answers to prayer in my own life, and I'm sure you have as well. So hold fast to God. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on Him during this time of prayer and fasting, and pray. Because prayer works. How can we pray during this time? If you're not sure, we can always follow how King Jehoshaphat prayed. First off, he acknowledged who God was. Lord God, You are a good God. And he began to praise God. And we can look to the Psalms. He began to thank Him for what He's done in his life and in that situation. And then he let God know what he wanted change and breakthrough in. A situation you may need answers to, or to what direction to take, or wisdom, or how to follow through. This morning, I want to encourage you to implement a new deliberate routine during this time, which includes reading your Bible, praying, and choosing to have positive reactions and actions. So watch out, drivers. I'm going to be positive. I encourage you to sit down with your family or with your partner or maybe just even a friend and work out what it is that you want to see change or breakthrough in, so, and or what you would like to be strengthened in. That way you can encourage each other during this time. We are a family together. So work it out. Be deliberate. This is what we're going to do over the 21 days. This is what we're believing for. This is what we want to see change in. And if you need to, go do the shopping today of what you're going to potentially eat during this time or what you're going to eliminate. Get rid of it from your pantry. through his actions to set himself to seek the Lord by fasting and praying and to declare, my eyes are upon you, what happened? Number one is the prophetic. And it says in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 14 to 15, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jarah, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaphar in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You know, the Spirit of the Lord came on the prophet and he said what was going to happen. What does this mean when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you? It may be different for everyone, but for me personally, I know that I sense like a real weight of his presence that comes upon me. And I know it's out of the normal. It's something different from the normal. And I sense that he's giving me something. I might send a bit of fluttery in my spirit, but he gives you the ability to do something outside of the normal. You might be able to prophesy encouragement to something. Suddenly you get like a word. It may seem small to you, but to the recipient, it might be the very thing that they're needing to hear, that they're needing to get encouragement for. It may be simple, but let me tell you, the receiver can receive what you're saying and go away from that place changed. You know, I remember a time when I went to a Students for Christ meeting back in Adelaide when I was at uni. And we had this visiting speaker, and then he said at the very end of the meeting, would anyone like to get up and pray? And everyone just sort of started praying. And it was one of those moments where my heart started to pound, and I just knew that God had given me a word. But I was also feeling a bit scared, like, oh, I don't know these people. But it was one of those times that I knew that if I didn't get up and say it, it was almost like I was being disobedient. I don't mean that in a judging way. I just knew because it was just so heavy in my spirit. So I eventually sort of made my way to the front and started to prophesy what I felt the Holy Spirit had given me. And once it was done, it was like that release. I knew it was gone, like my heart sort of went back to normal, and I went out of that place. And I must admit, I got so excited in my prayer that the capillaries above my eyes actually broke and I had red. My whole face was bright red. I think I was so loud that people in the other lectures came to hear what was going on in that room. So I made a real spectacle of myself, but it was for God's glory. It may not happen like that for you. God's word came forth giving instruction on what to do and the outcome. During this time of prayer and fasting, let's declare and believe that people will rise up in the prophetic. Declare that the Spirit of the Lord to stir the prophetic gifting in people. Arise, prophets in this place. Arise the prophetic in the name of Jesus. And I declare people will prophesy over their situations using the word of God. Prophesy to the dry bones like we find in Ezekiel 37. I prophesy restoration into that situation. I prophesy good communication in my marriage. I prophesy life into my children. I prophesy life where there is barrenness. I prophesy insight into a situation. I prophesy right reactions when I see that particular person that stirs me in the wrong way. Lord God, I use your word. Lord God, I use your truth. Lord God, I just come to you right now. My eyes are fixed on you and I prophesy change and breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I need that situation changed. I need that barrenness to be shifted out of my life. Lord God, I need to have the right reactions when I face certain people in certain situations. Lord God, I use your truth. Lord God, I use your word, which is stronger than any two-edged sword. And I prophesy life. I prophesy hope. I prophesy healing into my life and your life in the name of Jesus. This is the 21 days to be deliberate. To prophesy truth into our situations, hope into our situations. You may have children that are away from God right now. I declare and I prophesy life and truth into their hearts and their lives. Look, whatever was established in their hearts, they will come back in the name of Jesus. If you're struggling with sickness, I prophesy healing in the name of Jesus. How can I do that? Because I know my God is a healing God. I know that as I fix my eyes on him, he will set my course. Prophesying life in the name of Jesus. Number two, appointment took place. People were appointed to praise and worship God. people were appointed to their rightful positions. In 2 Chronicles 20:21, it says this, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should sing praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.'" You know, people were appointed to praise and worship. People were appointed to their giftings. You know, appoint means to fix, set, and establish. And they were equipped with things necessary to fill their appointment. For example, a singing voice or being able to play a musical instrument. Not like me. With that appointment comes deposits from the Spirit of God that you don't have in the natural to do what God has appointed you to do. Appointments taking place in the name of Jesus and the ability to go along to do what God has called you to do. People can sing, but when the Spirit of God comes, it changes the atmosphere. People can talk, but when the Spirit of God comes, it changes conversations. People can give direction, but when it's God-given direction and wisdom, it can change the outcome. In 2 Chronicles 20:22 to 23, it says, "Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another." I want you just to imagine that scene right now. I can just imagine the Spirit of God was just hovering over the place, waiting to hear the word. The word from God and the words of the people. Then the people began to sing. Then the people began to praise. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Then they went into action and sent ambushes against the people, the enemy coming towards them. You know, this to me shows the power of praise and worship along with fasting and prayer. You know, during this time of prayer and fasting, let's declare and believe that people will be appointed in their giftings and strengthened and equipped in their giftings. There's so much ability. There is so much in this house right now. And God just wants you to be stirred in your hearts and equipped in your hearts to do what he's called you to do. People in their gift, strengthened in their giftings of leading us into the Holy of Holies like we had this morning with Emily. People strengthened when they praise and worship to see, to hear, and set themselves towards the Lord. People strengthened to bring encouragement to their partner, building them up with truth. People strengthened to do what God has called them to do. And number three, the third thing that took place was they took possession of. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 20 to 20, 24 to 25, it says this. "And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering all the spoil. It was so much." What did they do? They took possession of. They took possession of what was already theirs, their land and the spoil of the enemy. You know, this morning the enemy is always trying to dispossess us from what is ours. He tries to shift us from the position of what we already have in God. He tries to take us away from what we already have, from our relationships, from our marriages, from our children, and even from our present. He tries to take away and he tries to shift us out of what God has already given us or ordained for our lives. And in Proverbs 18:10, it says this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe." They were now positioned in safety. They were positioned in the watchtower, the strong tower. They were now safe and free. God had done what he said he was going to do. From their place of safety, they could look and see all that was theirs to possess. They stood on the victory of their God and possessed what he had for them. They had fasted. They had prayed, they had fixed their attention on God, and now they possessed abundance, they possessed freedom, and they possessed blessings in the name of Jesus. During this time of prayer and fasting, let's declare and believe we will take possession of what is ours, what God has for us. It is ours and we will take possession of it. The enemy will try and shift you from what has already been established in your heart and your life. But during these 21 days, we're taking back what's ours. We're not going to be shifted. We are fixed, we are determined, and our eyes are on Jesus. You know, what is it that you may need to take possession of? It might be peace and joy this morning. It might be answers to prayer. It might be children following the Lord. Taking possession of the freedom that God has already given us. Taking possession of answers and solutions to situations which can remove the stress out of our lives through knowing who our God is. Take possession of more intimacy in our marriages where there may be blockages. Possession of growth in my communication with my family and friends. It might be possession of friendships or relationships. Whatever it is this morning, I'm believing in all my heart and I know it to be true that you are going to possess what God has for you. And if the enemy's been trying to shift you out of that, then that is going to be eradicated in the name of Jesus. It's funny when you go to preach something, how things just happen. And during this week, something actually just happened at work. And I knew I'd be called up to see the principal. Not that I had done anything purposefully wrong, but just something had gone on. And when I heard about it, I just had that real sinking feeling in my heart. I was like, oh, what do I do? Maybe I need to send an email just to give her the heads up. This is what's going to take place. And I just thought, you know what? I just need to stop right now and I just need to pray. My eyes are upon you. You know what's going on. You know the heart of this other person. I don't. And I just got to trust you through this. And so I just didn't think about it the next day. And when the principal came in just around 5 o'clock to see me, she said, oh, can you come up to my office when you finish? I was like, yes. So I waited until it was a bit quieter. And when I walked up there, I just walked up going, God, my eyes are upon you. Right now, I set my attention on you. Right now, I know that you are the author and the perfecter of my faith. And whatever the outcome, I know you've got me because my eyes are fixed on you. And I can tell you it all went well. And I was just so thankful for that. And I just stand before you now being able to praise and honor God that he does have you. That if he's given you something, it is yours to possess this morning. And you can be fixed and assured. You can trust God in all that you have because he is for you and he's not against you. And this morning, I just want us to all stand in his presence. And I just want to take a few minutes to actually go through praying together as a church. It's not because I don't believe you don't know how to do it, but I just want to go through a bit how King Jehoshaphat prayed with the people. And right now, we're together as a people. Amen. And in Psalm 48, 1, 9 and 10, and Psalm 104, 1 and Psalm 63, 3 are going to be hopefully up on there for you. So these are just examples of how we can pray to God this morning. So I just want you to, if you feel comfortable raising your hands, if you feel comfortable closing your eyes, whatever is comfortable for you right now. But I want us to pray together. I want us to come and pray together and acknowledge who God is.